Could I direct your attention this evening in the few moments that remain to the verse 22 of Mark's Gospel and the chapter 10. It says in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 22, "And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." During the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, there were numerous individuals who both came into contact with him and who left comforted and blessed. I can think of the man sick of the palsy. Remember how that he was brought to the Lord Jesus Christ and how that he was healed of his palsy. And the Lord turned to him and said to him these words, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." I can think of the woman with the issue of blood, that woman who stooped to touch the hem of his garment, and recognizing that virtue had gone out of himself into the woman, he asked who touched him, and when the woman owned up to the fact that she had touched him, the Lord said, "Daughter, be of good comfort, for thy faith hath made thee whole." The same could be said of that woman who was a great sinner, who was in the house of Simon. When the Lord turned to her and said, "Thy sins are forgiven, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace." Or we can think of the lame man at that pool of Siloam, where the Lord said, "Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more." All of these folk and many, many others came into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. And being in contact with him, their life was transformed and changed, and they went away comforted. They went away blessed. However, before us in the passage that we read is a man, a young man. And he came running to the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into the very presence of the Lord. He came into contact with the Savior. And yet he did not, like those others we've mentioned, go away comforted. He did not go away with cheer and gladness within his heart. He did not leave the side of the Savior that day knowing that his sins were forgiven and having great comfort within his soul. But as our text tells us in verse 22, he went away grieved. His heart was troubled. His heart was sore. He left the Lord Jesus Christ that day and he left grieved. The original words, sad and grieved, do not merely denote sorrow, but they note that feeling, that drooping of one's countenance, a becoming gloomy when the darkness sets in, the feeling of pain and of distress and of despair and of trouble. And so here is a man this evening that whilst others left the presence of Christ happy, full of comfort, at peace with God, this man left Christ gloomy, grieved in his heart, troubled in his spirit. Things hadn't changed for this man. And as we can think of him tonight, we would have to say that things haven't changed much even in this generation. I can look around this congregation this evening, and I can see men and women, those of you I've known over numerous years. And I know that you have come into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can say things are different now. Something's happened to me. Why? For Christ Jesus has come into your life. He's comforted your soul. He's saved your soul. You know what it is to have the joy of salvation within your heart. You know what it is to have your sins pardoned and forgiven. But whilst there are those of you here and you are comforted having been in the presence of Christ, there are those of you. And being in the presence of the Lord in a gathering such as this, you have been troubled. And perhaps even before you leave this night, your heart will be troubled. Your heart will be grieved. You will have the same feeling within your soul as this man as you leave the presence of Christ and leave this house this evening. How will you leave this place? Do you think you'll leave this place happy in Christ? Favored within your heart with His so great salvation? Well, just as this man came to the Savior and left the Savior the same way, in the same spiritual condition, will you leave this house the same way as you came in? With a heart that is grieved. So here is a man in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, who left the presence of Christ troubled. And the question that I want to ask and seek to answer tonight is this. Why was he sad? And why did he leave the presence of Christ grieved and troubled in his heart? Let me say, first of all, he was troubled by what he had learned. You see, he had come to the Lord Jesus Christ that day. He had come running, he had come full of enthusiasm, and he had come to ask a very simple question: what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Let me say, that is the most important question that a man or a woman could ever ask. It doesn't matter whether you are a child of just those years, small years, or whether you are the oldest adult, or whether you're an age in between, there is no more important question than the question that this young man asked the Lord Jesus Christ. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Friend, have you ever faced up to the reality that there is more to life than living? Because there is a death day. There is a grave. And there's more to the grave than just you going to have your body laying there. Friend, after the grave there's eternity. And whilst there is more to life than just living, and whilst there's more to the grave than death, there is more to eternity than heaven. For there's a heaven to be won, and there's a hell that we must shun. And friend, this was the question regarding not merely his satisfaction in life, but this was the great question concerning the great eternal issue concerning his soul. It mattered to him where he would spend eternity. Where will you spend eternity? Eternity. Eternity. Where will you spend eternity? Here is a young man, and let me address myself to those young people today. Eternity is something that even in your youth you ought to consider. Just because you see people 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years of age does not mean that you will reach that age. I have known people cut off as children, as teenagers in their early 20s. It is never too soon to ask that question, where will I spend eternity? It's never a trifling thing to ask that question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Have you ever thought about eternity? Ever thought about where your soul will be when you die? Ever thought of that great issue that faces you, that when you die because of sin you will go to hell unless you know the salvation of God? Where do you find that salvation? How do you come to obtain that salvation? Is there a salvation? There are questions you need to ask, even from your youngest days. This man had been speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had asked this question, and the Lord had answered him. We have in the verses 18 and 19 the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll come to them in more detail in a moment. But the Lord Jesus spoke to him, verse 18 and 19. He spoke to him in the verse 21. And you'll notice that it says, and he was sad at that saying. Matthew puts it this way when he records this particular incident. He says, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. And the word saying there means the Logos, the word. You see, it was when he heard the word, when he heard the word of Christ, that's what troubled his heart. That's what troubled his soul. And many are troubled by the word of Christ, by the word of the gospel, by the word of God. It upsets them. It annoys them. It brings anxiety to their heart. It troubles their very soul. They don't like what the Lord Jesus Christ says about life. They don't like what the Lord Jesus Christ says about salvation. It troubles them. It causes them anxiety. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter, in the power of the Holy Ghost, stood up and preached to that great crowd that gathered, when he began to tell them of who Christ was and what Christ had done and how they, with those murderous, wicked hands, had taken the Lord Jesus Christ and put him to death upon the cross. We are told in the verse 37 of chapter 2 of Acts, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. As the word of the preacher went forth, as the word of God was heralded to those men, they were pricked in the heart. It was a painful experience. It troubled them. It hurt them. Likewise, Paul was troubled after the hearing of the words of Stephen. Remember how that Stephen was taken and he was put to death? But Paul, Saul as he was then known, he was troubled. For the Lord said to him, when he met with him to convert him, he said to him, is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? He was kicking against the message. He was kicking against the word of the gospel. And it was prickly. It was a sore thing. And friend, if you're in your sins today, if you're in your iniquities, the word of God can cause pain and trouble to your heart. When you think of this man, he learned a number of things. And those things troubled him right to his very heart. He learned that his life was not good enough for to get him into heaven. He was a religious man. He was an intelligent man, an educated man. He was a Jew by birth and he was a lawyer by occupation. He was a moral man, for he tells us that he kept those commandments. He says, all these have I kept from my youth. And yet when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him, when the Lord Jesus challenged him and taught his heart, he came to the realization that his moral, religious, educated life wasn't good enough to get him to heaven. He had come asking, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And I believe he was expecting the Lord to say, how do you live? He was going to tell the Lord how he lived, and he thought the Lord would give him a pat on the back and say, well done. But he didn't. He didn't. He was religious. He was moral. He sought from his youth to keep these particular commandments that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about, commandments to do with his fellow men. But he still wasn't good enough to get to heaven. And let me say that you might be religious. You might call yourself a Protestant with a capital P or a Catholic with a capital C. You might be educated. You might have the various examinations that you need to do a good job. You might seek to live a good moral life. A life whereby you don't deceive and don't steal and don't swear. That you don't knowingly break the commandments of God. You're living on the clean side of the street. But friend, it does not deal with the issue that you were born in sin and sheep in iniquity. It does not deal with the issue that being a member of Adam's race, you are still a sinner before God. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before God. And you might be religious, and you might have education, and you might be moral, but that does not take away the sin out of your life. And so he learned that day that the life that he was living was not good enough to get him to heaven. It was good that he was educated, but education won't get you to heaven. It was good that he was moral and sought to keep the commandments of God, but there's no man saved by keeping the law of God, because none of us can keep it perfectly. He stood that day before the Lord as a sinner, just the way you stand today in his presence in this house as a sinner. He was religious, he was a Jew, but whilst he had a privilege, because unto the Jews were given the oracles of God, the word of truth, yet he's still a sinner at heart. He learned something else. He learned that his life was not good enough for heaven. And as we've touched on, he learned that he could not get to heaven by keeping the commandments. All these have I kept, he says. But keeping the commandments would not get him to heaven. For no man is saved by the law. He was troubled by what he learned. Let me say also that he was troubled by what he lacked. He was troubled by what he lacked. Look at the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 21. It says, Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. In other words, he's saying there's one thing in your life which is absolutely essential to have eternal life, and you don't have it. You're educated, you're religious, you're moral, but the one thing that is absolutely essential for eternal life, that's the one thing you don't have. What was that? Well, if you read on, it says, in verse 21, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. I want you to notice that expression, follow me. It's very important. Because if you take away those words, follow me, and read those words, you could get the false impression that the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching this man that you could be saved by works. He had asked him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord said, one thing thou lackest, go and sell all that thou hast. Give it to the poor. So, we could assume that, and assume wrongly, that the Lord was saying that if you do this particular work, you'll get to heaven. But friend, that would be contrary to the teaching of the Word of God. For the Bible tells us that for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul also said, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy that he saves us. It's not of works. And so whatever the Lord Jesus Christ is saying in this verse, he is not saying that this man has to perform something, he has to do something in order to merit by his works eternal life. And that's where that expression, follow me, comes in. It implies a forsaking of every other confidence. He was a moralist. He kept the law of God as best he could. He was a materialist. He had great possessions. And I am convinced that this man thought that the Lord would answer his question by saying, what must I do? By saying, your morals will attain or merit you salvation. Or if you can do something with your money, your possessions, you'll attain to eternal life. But the Lord wasn't saying that. The Lord pointed to the crux of the matter. And the crux of the matter was, he was relying on his morality. And he was relying on his wealth. And morality and wealth are refuge of lies. You cannot build your eternal salvation upon the sand of morality or the sand of wealth. You see, this man had confidence in his morals. I'm good living. How often have we heard that today? You talk to somebody about their soul, but you know, I am good living. I don't do anybody any harm. I try and keep by the words of the good book. That's what you hear people say. Man, you need to be safe. But I'm living the best I can. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't gamble. I don't live an immoral life. I'm seeking to help everybody else. Surely the Lord will not cast me out for that. And they claim their morals, they trust in their morality. Some trust in their money. I remember speaking to a woman, and her whole argument whereby she would be in heaven was this, that she gave substantial sums of money to the church. She paid into the church. And she paid in well to the church, and she thought that would be the reason why she would get to heaven. Her confidence was in her money and what she could do with her money. And what the Lord was saying to him, by telling him to sell all that he has and give to the poor, he was saying, you have to give up your confidence in these things. You cannot trust in your wealth to get you to heaven. You cannot trust in your morality to get you through those gates of the eternal kingdom. That is something that you must forsake, you must give up upon. For it's an impossibility. It implies a forsaking of every other confidence. And whatever you trust in to get you to heaven, if it's not the right thing to trust in, it will only take you to hell. I've known people who say they're Free Presbyterian. Let me tell you, my friend, if they died the way they live, they'll be in hell. Even though they say they're a Free Presbyterian. I could take you to a man, not far from, but rather to a place where a man lived, not far from the church. He told everybody he was a Free Presbyterian, and they were the only church that was right. I never saw sight nor sound of him in the church. 14 years. But to everybody, he was a Free Presbyterian. He was the biggest scoundrelite. He was a liar, a blasphemer, a swearer, a curser, a drunken sot. But he was a Free Presbyterian. We never saw him. He just agreed with a lot of the principles of the Free Presbyterian Church. And he got the church a bad name. And that's the way he died. That's the way he died. You can trust in being a Protestant. But if your Protestant is devoid of Jesus Christ, if your Protestantism is devoid of faith in Jesus Christ, you'll go to hell. You'll go to hell. You see, it not only implies a forsaking of every other confidence, but it implies faith in Christ alone. That's why he said, follow me. He was saying, one thing you lack, this is it. A life of faith following me. He says, give up all that you're trusting in. Give up your wealth and follow me. Give it all to the poor. Follow me. Have faith in me. Trust in me alone. That's what the Lord was teaching him. The whole message that the Lord was telling this man about what he lacked the life of faith in Christ. He didn't trust in Christ alone. And friend, that's the very heart of the gospel. There is no salvation in the church. There's no salvation in rites and ceremonies. There's no salvation in baptism. There's no salvation in the Lord's table. There's no salvation in good living. The only salvation that you can find is the salvation which is in Jesus Christ alone. Neither is there salvation in any other, said Peter. But there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You miss Jesus Christ. You lack faith in Jesus Christ, you'll go to hell. One thing thou lackest. Is there a man here today? A woman here? Is there an older person or a young person? And as you read these words, one thing thou lackest, that is a life of faith in Jesus Christ. That's the very thing that's lacking in your life. For you've never trusted the Savior. And you're not living a life of faith in Him. You want to be saved? You want eternal life? You want to spend eternity in heaven singing the anthems of the blessed and knowing the presence of the Lord throughout all eternity? Well, you need a life of faith in Him. You need to trust Him as your Savior. Paul was giving his testimony in Acts chapter 26. And he was telling King Agrippa how that the Lord appeared unto him and delivered him and gave to him his ministry, a purpose in his life that he would go forth and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And he says in verse 18, as part of his ministry, it would be to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified. And then he said this, by faith that is in me. That was the Savior speaking to Saul of Tarsus. And as Saul recounted his testimony about what the Savior said to him that day he was converted, he had a message to preach. That message was by faith in Him. Deliverance by faith in Christ. I know I don't look my age. You might feel it, particularly tonight, but I don't look my age. I'm 51 this year. And I know I only look 31. But when I was 15, I was well saved. But at the age of 15, I was saved when I was 10 and a half. But at the age of 15, I realized that I had to read this Bible through every year. And so from the age of 15, I started to read this book, God's book. Beginning at Genesis and working my way through year after year from the age of 15 and 51 in September. I have never found a book of the Bible. I have never found a chapter in the Bible. I have never found a verse in any chapter in any book in the Bible. I have never found a phrase in any verse, in any chapter, in any book of the Bible which tells me I can get to heaven any other way than by faith in Jesus Christ. And if you know one, you come and tell me. But I don't think anybody will come and tell me because there isn't one there. You want to go to heaven? You have to have faith in Christ. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Young person, you want to go to heaven? You need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Older person, every day you take is taking you a step nearer to eternity. Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to stand before Him in the judgment? You can only stand in the presence of God and be accepted into heaven if you have faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And it's by faith in Him that we are saved. He was troubled by what he learned. He was troubled by what he lacked. And he was troubled by what he loved. Because we are told here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 22, that he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for here's the reason. He had great possession. He loved his wealth. There was a particular aspect of his life on earth that he loved and was not prepared to give up in order to have life eternal in heaven. They were his confidence. They had to be given up. His wealth was his life. Now, it's not wrong to have riches. Many a person has been blessed by God. But what was wrong was that he was putting his faith, his trust in those riches. They were his God. That was the one thing he wouldn't give up, to have faith in Christ. And for somebody else, it may well be the drink, or it may be gambling, or it might be drugs, it might be a woman that you love, or if you're a woman, a man that you love. It might be something that is a pleasure in this world that you enjoy, but you love it, and you desire it, and you know that if you were to be saved, if you were to come to have faith in Christ, you'd have to give it up. You'd have to let it go. For you can't have Christ and that pleasure that's in your life. You can't have Christ and that thing which you now love. And so you have a decision to make. Do I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, giving this thing up? Or do I cling on to it? Do I hold on to it at the risk of losing my soul? That's why this man went away troubled. That's why he went away grieved. For his possessions were the one thing in his life that he loved. And he didn't want to let them go. He didn't want to have to set them aside that he might have life eternal. So he went away from Christ troubled, pained in his heart. You see, the bottom line is this: you cannot have your sin in the Savior. You cannot have your sin in the Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ did not come to save us in our sins. He came to save us from our sins. And friend, have eternal life. That thing which is sin in your life, you have to let go. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve the Lord Jesus Christ and your sin. You can only serve one. So what's it going to be? That young man came. He was very enthusiastic. Oh, he was wise. He was considering the things of eternity. He came running and knelt down before the Lord, acknowledging that Christ was the blessed Son of God, the Savior. And he knelt down before him and he said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I really want to know. But he went away without it. Because he was clinging on to his sin. Maybe you've come tonight. Maybe those issues about eternity have been in your heart. You've been thinking about those things. You've been pondering them. How can I be saved? How can I be sure that my sins are forgiven? How can I get to heaven? You know that Christ is the Savior. And tonight, do you want to know something? You're in his presence. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And the Lord's here tonight. The Lord's here. And here you are in his presence with that question upon your own heart. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord says, trust me. Leave your sins and trust me. Friend, will you trust the Savior? Will you let go of your sin and embrace him who to know is life eternal? Will you say, Lord, I give up all that I might trust you? Or will you be like this man who turned his back on Christ and walked away from the Savior, troubled in his heart, for he wanted to keep his sin? What's it going to be tonight? How are you going to respond? You're going to say, I'm coming, Lord. Coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed from Calvary. Or you're going to say, Lord, I cannot give up myself. I cannot let go. I'll take my chance. Go out again without Christ. With your heart troubled because of the things you've learned. And your heart troubled because of that one thing you lack, that life of faith in Christ. And your life troubled because you're clinging to the thing that you love instead of looking to the Savior. Make the right decision. I pray God, His Spirit, would work on your heart this evening. And that you would come to know him, and to know his life eternal, for his name's sake. Amen. Hymn 242.